Hello and welcome along to the Let's Talk Racing audio podcast in association with Racing TV. I'm Joshua Stacey and I'm joined alongside Andrew Blair White. As always, after an epic showdown at Sandown in the Clarence House Chase, Shishkin Enegamin lived up to the hype. Shishkin just got the better of Enegamin in the last final strides. What a race, Andrew. What a race. What was your thinking?
Yeah, it's a fantastic race, Josh, and so often in these sort of races we don't potentially get the clash we've so desperately wanted, but in this occasion Enegamin didn't miss a beat out in front and really put it up to Shishkin. And it was a very strange race to watch. I kind of felt throughout it that Shishkin was where he would have wanted to have been. He was close enough to get by. But I suppose a little bit reminiscent of that Altior surname clash a few years ago at Ascot. You're there turning in going, is he actually going to be able to pick this horse up? And especially considering Enegamin wasn't making any mistakes, it was going to be very hard to do so. But the fact that the two of them ran so well that they're in a titanic finish, they're miles clear of First Flow as well, who's not a bad yardstick in those conditions, would be a firm indicator these two are very much above average two-mile chasers. And it's just fantastic to have that sort of an era of two-mile chasers with those two that potentially might be trading blows for a couple of years to come.
It was just incredible, and I was lucky enough to be there. I actually, thanks to the SBK, the sponsors of the Clarence House Chase, I presented the Best Turned Out Award. I gave it to First Flow before the race, and Kim Bailey came up and said, did you just do that out of pity? I said, no, definitely not, Kim. But Shishkin Enegamin, it was just brilliant. It was one of those races where you couldn't quite believe it happened like that. And I had the opinion going into the race that they wouldn't want to give... So if there was a horse, say, coming to the final fence that looked like he was going to be beaten, they wouldn't want to give them a hard time, and therefore the winning distance might be exaggerated. Shishkin was obviously two or three lengths down at the last, and Nico really gave him a slap, and he picked up, and it was Altior-esque. It was incredible. It just had everything, and for me, I tweeted it as well. It is definitely the best race I've ever seen live in my years watching racing, although they're not loads of years compared to others, but it was just brilliant, and it was fascinating. And now it's set up perfectly for Cheltenham. I suppose that the main question is, can you see a world where Enegamin reverses that form with Shishkin? Is it possible?
I think it is potentially possible. Would I be backing it? Probably not. I think Shishkin has the ability to confirm the form, and probably Cheltenham might play into his hands a little bit better than Enegamin. That being said, as we saw from the Ascot race on Saturday, Enegamin got a couple of mistakes out of Shishkin. And you never know what can happen in a champion chase. They're going a helter-skelter lick, and it wouldn't surprise, you know, it wouldn't be unforeseeable that one of those bad mistakes ends up knocking Shishkin even more lengths back. And if he gives Enegamin three or four lengths jumping the last, instead of maybe that two lengths he had on Saturday, he might be very, very hard to peg back. So I can see a world where it does happen. But I would say more likely than not, probably 7 or 8 times out of 10, I suspect Shishkin will be confirming this form.
If you were one of the proud owners of Enegamin, how do you beat Shishkin? What do you think they're thinking?
Well, I've seen plenty of theories in this regard, and people kind of saying that he didn't go very hard and he could have gone harder. But you've got to ride your own race at the same stage, and there's no point him tearing off like a scalded cat and finishing legless. He's the type of horse that does an awful lot of hard work on the bridle, Enegamin, and he travels with such zest as it is, that I think you just let him bowl away. The only problem with that type of horse, especially going into a champion chase, is he's going to have something. I wouldn't know what it will be, but he'll have some horse hassling him. And that's potentially something that could put him off, because if Enegamin got a soft lead out in front, a little bit like he got at Ascot on Saturday, he becomes harder and harder to peg back because he's setting his own fractions. It's a hard one because at the moment you look like you could throw plenty of bullets at Shishkin and he would just dodge them all and still come and pick you up. He's that type of horse. But I'm sure they're going to try and do not dissimilar things and try to get Shishkin off the bridle sooner and sooner and potentially expose maybe one of those mistakes into being more of a race-ending mistake than it might have been on Saturday.
Cheltenham, left-handed and that stiff finish will just suit Shishkin down to a T. Talking of other Nicky Henderson horses that ran at the weekend, John Bonn, one of the leading lights in the 2 mile novice hurdle division this year, went to Haydock and put his unbeaten record on the line in the Grade 2 Rustington Novices Hurdle. And I think the talking point going into this race was Mai Tai, who had previously finished second to Constitution Hill at Sandown. Constitution Hill is obviously one of the main market rivals to John Bonn in the Cheltenham showpiece. Constitution Hill was in receipt of £6 from Mai Tai at Sandown, and John Bonn had to give Mai Tai £5 at the weekend. So there's an £11 swing there. So maybe you can upgrade that performance considering that. What was your initial reaction? And has after you've had time to think about the performance, have you changed your mind ever so slightly?
Yeah, I'd say I have done it. It looked workmanlike at the time because it was workmanlike. There's no getting away from that. He didn't he didn't win just quite as comfortably as he has done his previous runs. But that being said, I think when you take away some of the hyperbole behind John Bonn, I think there's a couple of people out there that just have it in for John Bonn that are going to, because of the hype and because of the money, they just don't want him to succeed almost. And actually, the performance on Saturday was a man's performance. You know, it was tough going. Haydock's a slog of a place almost all the time. You very rarely see horses do things on the bridle at Haydock. It's a hard place to go around. He was carrying a graded penalty as well, against fair horses as well. The Donald McCain horse, not a bad horse. Mai Tai, not a bad horse. He had a bit of scrimmaging at the top of the straight at three out. Didn't seem to faze him. And he's ended up winning the race pretty comfortably at the line. I think that will have given him plenty of streetwiseness going into Cheltenham. I think a lot of people had an issue potentially with the fact that he's had two pretty soft races in terms of the way they've been run, the way he's been able to dictate in his own matters. But this didn't go to plan, and he's still come out with flying colours. And that must be a positive if you have gone in on John Bonn, because he's actually proven to us that he's a little bit more stern than I think some people have given him credit for. And he looks to find plenty off the bridle, as well as having that high cruising speed.
John Bonn, Constitution Hill. We won't include the Irish. Which one of those do you think Nicky Henderson is going, yeah, that's my first string?
Very tough question that I suspect he probably doesn't know the answer to either.
Okay, if you own them both, which one would you be most confident with?
I've always been a little bit in John Bonn's camp rather than Constitution Hill. I don't really know why that is. Perhaps it's a little bit of bias with the Duvan connection. But that being said, the way the horse just goes about it, I like it. I really like it. I think he's a fast horse. I think he jumps impeccably. And I really see this horse as being a future champion hurdler. And that really fills me with an awful lot of excitement, because we haven't seen many horses do that in recent years. Fingers crossed that come next year, they might send Constitution Hill over the big sticks and keep John Bonn hurdling, because that would be a fascinating sight. He just screams to me excitement. He has done ever since he won that point to point, ever since he was bought as a store horse for around 140 grand by Elmarie Holden. There's been excitement about this horse, and I just hope he can live up to it.
Tommy's Oscar won the Champion Hurdle Trial. Do you think he's got any chance of placing in a champion? I think that's what Connections are thinking of doing next.
Yeah, well, they're well entitled to have a pop. This horse has improved out of all recognition. I don't know how it was the case, but I managed to get this horse beat of 137 at Weatherby at the start of this year, and he's now rated, I think, nearly 160. He did it superbly. I was saying just a second ago about John Bonn that very few horses do things very easily at Haydock, and he won that race very easily. Now, I know it was a poor race. He was entitled to go and win it based off his current form, but he's been a legend for Connections. And Anne Hamilton, just four horses in the yard, and all four horses are absolute win machines between Tommy's Oscar, Pay the Piper, Bavington Bob, and Hello Judge. Like, they're absolute four legends of horses. Nutswell in there as well, obviously, who's been an excellent horse in recent years. I can't discredit Connections going for it. I think they'd probably be in a slightly better chance, potentially, in the Aintree Hurdle. You know, if they go hard, you can hold them up and maybe come through horses on a flatter track. But he certainly could finish in the first three or four at Cheltenham if he comes there in his best form.
I think that a brilliant performance at the weekend was Royal Pagai, carrying so much weight, giving that weight to decent rivals, much better rivals than he beat last year in the same race. And now it looks to me like the Gold Cup is the aim. Rich Ritchie, him and his mullet were there at Haydock. Look, he's a year older. He's a year more mature. He went to the Gold Cup last year, albeit as an older novice. Do you think he's improved and do you think he's got a chance? Let's just say it came up heavy ground. Prime conditions for Royal Pagai, prime conditions for Venetia Williams. Does Royal Pagai have a squeak?
He has a squeak on heavy ground, but it's no different to what it's been with Native River over the last couple of years, I think. It has to be heavy ground, because he has to almost get everything else to slow down for him to have a great chance. But it was a fantastic performance, as you alluded to, and so rare do we see kind of these big weight-carrying performances anymore in these big handicaps. And it's fantastic that Venetia Williams had the courage to run him, and Rich Ritchie allowed him run, and he's gone and won the race, and won it a little bit snug at the line as well. He's well entitled to go back to the Gold Cup. He'd have a chance on heavy ground. I would just think with this horse, long term, like, there's a little bit of Bristol Demai-itis with him in terms of his love affair with Haydock, and I suspect connections are already hoping that they might get back to next November for that Betfair chase, and this time round it might be heavy ground. It was unusually quick ground for the race this year, and he ran an admirable race in second by Nat Plutar. If it turned up a bog next November, I'd think it would be a fair horse to get by him.
Alaho ran on Sunday, the Ryanair Chase winner from last year, and it looks to me like this year could just be a formality as well. Were you impressed? I thought this year he almost looks better.
Yeah, it was a super performance. And I think if you were a fan and follower of Alaho, you'd have been really appreciative of that performance on the weekend. I think a few people were sceptical. He'd had such a hard race in the John Durkin, but he came out full of beans. He jumped super, and he ended up tearing not a bad little field completely apart. Hopefully, this result on Saturday, or on Sunday, sorry, at Thurles can finally quash the wave of Fakir Dudaree shrewd each way backers, because he's again been put in his place by Alaho, who's just a better horse than him. In fact, comes first in that regard. And as you say, obviously it's a competitive Grade One at Cheltenham. Nothing's a formality, but at the same stage, I don't really see what on earth is going to beat him.
Walking on Air made his hurdling debut for Nicky Henderson at Newbury on Wednesday, and he was very impressive. He's now 10-1 for the Ballymore. Nicky Henderson instantly said he'd be better up in trip, and that was definitely the vibes before the race. I was very impressed by him. Now at 10-1 in what looks an open Ballymore, let's say Issa Gerhard doesn't run, it would definitely throw the door wide open to many horses in behind. Do you think that he could be that class, or is he maybe a level below?
I suppose he could be that class. We'll have to see more. You gave him a very good shout out on one of the videos a week or two ago about this horse to keep on the right side of, and he certainly does look exactly that. I think he was 66-1 for the Ballymore before the race, now down to 10-1. 10-1 is an absolute car crash of a price, I must confess. I don't know. Like, he's a point bigger than Ginto, who's a Grade One winner. I don't know how on earth people can justify that. But he's obviously a horse with plenty of ability and plenty of potential. Whether Cheltenham this year might be a little bit of a bridge too soon, only two racecourse starts, he's going to want to run again. Maybe run in the Sydney Banks over 2.5, perhaps, before Cheltenham. But you probably want to see it again before really making up your mind about what sort of class this horse is.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think 10-1 is skinny at this stage. What's interesting is Nicky Henderson was going to send Balco Coastal to the Sydney Banks. He's now going to run this weekend at Cheltenham. So that might give an indication of how high they think Walking on Air could rise. And the fact that they've moved another good horse to accommodate Walking on Air might be a good sign as well. So Walking on Air, definitely one to keep a right side of. And I think he will go to Huntington for the Sydney Banks and the race that Shishkin won a couple of years ago before winning the Supreme. We've had the interesting entries at the Dublin Racing Festival come out this week. The handicap entries have been revealed, and there's a couple in there that I'm happy to see, and also one that's quite surprising. Buddy Rich has entered in the 2 mile handicap chase, and after I put him up on the Let's Talk Racing YouTube channel, I was happy to see that he's fit and well, and hopefully will run a decent race there, maybe not do his winning there and save that for March. And Carefully Selected was entered in the 2.5 mile or the 2.5 mile handicap chase. Do you think that he could threaten any sort of maybe handicap picture at the Cheltenham Festival? Because he had bundles of ability before his injury.
He did. I suppose the one thing that would slightly put you off is Mullins' record in handicap chases at the festival. He's not a massive fan of them, and even the horses he does run in them don't tend to run that brilliantly. He's a good horse, though, as you say. He's got an awful lot of ability, and it'd be very interesting to see how he goes. You'd like to just see him back on track first and foremost, and from then on you can kind of have a look and see where they can go down and what sort of route they might target. They might try and target maybe some of the good races at Fairy House or Punchestown at the end of the season and maybe skip Cheltenham on this occasion. But good to see him back.
Are there any interesting entries that you got your eye on?
I suppose there's a few. Obviously, the novice hurdles look really exciting races. I think that 2 mile novice hurdle that Sir Gerhard's favourite for is going to be a fascinating race, because not only are you going to get Sir Gerhard, the main Gordon Elliott protagonists in Mighty Potter and Three Stripe Life, but I suspect you're going to get one or two of Willie Mullins' really good mares running in it as well, because I don't see where on earth else they're going to run. The likes of the Brandy Loves, Grangies. Be interesting to see. I know Hookup came fourth in the race last year, just how they go. And having a look down the field in that race, obviously in last year's renewal behind Appreciated, Gallopin Deschamps came fifth, went on to win the Martin Pipe. Some really interesting horses in behind. And one, I'm not for a second saying that he's going to go and win that race, but certainly a horse that will slip under many a radar is a horse called Gatsby Gray. He won a bumper last year at Navan, beating a horse called the Carpenter, who's now gone to Nicky Henderson. And he won a maiden hurdle down in Limerick over Christmas, really impressively. An RPR of 133. That's just as good as plenty of the top horses on their maiden hurdle debuts. Certainly one to keep the right side of maybe later on in the season.
I was trying to look at that, especially the William Fry handicap hurdle, the race that Gordon Elliott likes to send his potential Potemps horses or Martin Pipe horses. And he's got about 64 entered in it, so there's no clues given away. Another horse I think could run in one of the grade ones at the Dublin Racing Festival, but maybe drop down to a handicap, is Hen C for Willie Mullins. He was successful, I think it was at Tremor, in a maiden hurdle. He reminds me a bit of Gallopin Deschamps, his profile. It wouldn't surprise me to see him finish fifth or sixth and then maybe go down a Martin Pipe route. He's one I've got an eye on. A horse I think appeals at the prices for the Dublin Racing Festival antipost is Vauban at 7-2 for the spring juvenile, the grade one juvenile hurdle, mainly because, especially with the way that the ground is going, I can see Phil Dorr going straight to Cheltenham. I think that's what connections are favouring anyway. And that would leave potentially him and Pipe Piper at a rematch. Both of them hadn't done much work going into their hurdling debut, but that was definitely the case of Vauban. I think their connections are extremely hopeful that he will reverse that form. He made a couple of niggly errors that hopefully they can iron out with a bit of schooling at home and with experience from that run on a race course. And 7-2, if Phil Dorr isn't there, I think it'd be much shorter. And there is also a slight chance that Pied Piper could run this weekend at Cheltenham. Interesting, I think Vauban at 7-2 right now is a decent anti-post punt for the Dublin Racing Festival. Is there one that sticks out for you? Sir Gerhard, maybe, 11-8?
Yeah, I wouldn't be backing that at 11-8, even though he probably will go and win. Unfortunately, the horses that I'm looking at are in races that don't have any anti-post prices at the moment. They will in, I'd say, a couple of days' time, because they're in the handicaps. Probably the one that is roaring out to me is in the handicap chase, the 2 mile handicap chase on the first day, the 3.50, a horse called Fighting Fit for the Dempseys. He won at Naas a couple of weeks ago at their January meeting, and I put him up that day and he was a very, very impressive winner. He's still right at the bottom of those weights, and I think he's got an awful lot more winning to do in handicap chases. And two other horses, not necessarily backing for their respective races at the Dublin Racing Festival, more horses to keep the right side of. Obviously brilliant to see in the handicap entries, good old GJJ getting a mark of 142. I've now even got the Irish handicapper wanting Gallant John Joe to win a race, so he should be going close off that type of mark. And the one that I thought was very, very interesting, obviously for one of my anti-post bets for Cheltenham, that Gringo Dobrell has got an Irish handicap mark of 130. Now, I don't know, but maybe this is bias me speaking, but I'd have thought that's relatively lenient. He's entered in the 2 mile handicap hurdle. You think of a bit of tax, obviously, from the English handicapper. He's still only going to be 135, 136. Get him in the Martin Pipe, Gordon. Do the right thing. And I think he'd have a great chance if he went down that route.
God, 130. You might even struggle to get in the Martin Pipe. You might not be high enough in the weight off that mark. That is very, very interesting indeed. And maybe Gordon might enter him for a race over here for a handicap, and we could get an English mark as well before the festival, well in advance. The festival at the moment is interesting. I've been looking at Cheltenham handicaps all week, trying to find one or two that I like, or trying to nail down my colour to a couple. Phoenix Way did it very well at the weekend. I'd given him a decent mention for the Ultima. He's now into 16-1. Interesting to see if they stick at 2 mile 5 with him, maybe go for the Paddy Power Plate, or whether he's still unexposed over 3 miles and that the Ultima could be perfect for him. He would be one I'd be slightly keen on. But then two others as well. Call Me Lord at 40-1 for the Coral Cup. A very similar profile to William Henry, who won the race as a 9-year-old. Call Me Lord is a 9-year-old. You only got to go back a couple of years. He was running in champion hurdles. He was rated 160. I still think that he is decent value at 40-1. I suspect he'll run in the race, and I'd imagine he could even be first string for the Meniers if something like El Fabiolo didn't turn up, and I suspect he won't. Tully Beg as well, also at 20-1. I've been looking at Gordon Elliott's Potemps horses and horses that they could go there, could qualify between now and the festival, as well as the horses that have already qualified. And I think Tully Beg fits the profile that I like the most, in the fact that he could be a potential graded novice chaser down the line. Another big race in a couple of weeks' time is the Betfair Hurdle at Newbury, and there is an anti-post market for this. We've had the entries come out, and unfortunately, I put him in my tote 10 to follow specifically for this race. Good Risk At All. Doesn't qualify. He's not had the 3 runs. And his third run was going to be the day after the deadline. He now misses it. I quite like Broomfield Berg off 134. He was mightily impressive on Boxing Day at Kempton. He's 9-1 for the race. I think he'll definitely run. I really think he's well handicapped off 134. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, but I can see that point. Obviously, there seems to be money knocking around, and there has been almost all year for Nappers Hill in this race. I just don't see it at all. I think he's been a disappointing horse over hurdles thus far. His jumping would leave a fair bit to be desired, and you're going to throw him into a massive handicap like this. Wouldn't be for me myself. The horse that interests me, certainly at the current price, is based off his form around Leicester, and also obviously in the Tolworth, was J'Etoile for Ryan Potter. I just think a horse of his profile, you're currently getting 12-1 about him. I think if he's trained by somebody maybe a little bit more fashionable, I think he's only a single figure price. He's got a lot to like. He's only off a mark of 133. Seems to be fairly ground, versatile. Some nice runs earlier in the season. Won a couple of novices. Ran above himself in the Tolworth. I know the Tolworth wasn't a brilliant race, bar the winner, and he was a long way behind Constitution Hill. But that was still a performance of massive credit. And I think if you're bowling along in a decent enough rhythm out in front, he might be hard to catch off 133, and he's a little bit of a better jumper than maybe some of his main market rivals at the top there.
But let's move on then to this weekend. We're not going to run through the Cleeve, the Cotswold, we've got the Skybet Chase at Doncaster. We're going to do that on our YouTube channel tomorrow morning. So do tune in for that. We've had great support over there. It's been mind-blowing over the last few weeks or so, but thank you very much. But we are going to maybe point out a couple of horses that we do like a little bit. I think I've unearthed one here as well later on in the card, and that's Torn and Frayed for Nigel Twiston Davis, an 8-year-old who's been running in small fields behind My Drogo around Cheltenham in the early part of the season. Now up into a handicap, 2.5 mile handicap chase. He's 16-1. He goes in off the race off 130, completely bottom weight, 10 stone he'll be carrying. I think he'll bounce out in front at 16-1 each way. I think I'm going to have a bit of that before decks come out, because I think he could be quite a bit shorter. Is there anything this weekend that screams out to you? We've got the Cleeve champ in there. He's a very strong favourite.
Yeah, I think the main races, obviously, at Cheltenham on the weekend look like they might have short price favourites, and they're probably short price favourites that I would be siding with. I can't see how you'd logically be taking on the likes of a champ, really, based off what he did at Ascot. looking at the races in that 2.5 mile handicap chase, I see my old friend Galahad Quest is back out there. There's been money around for him as well this week, which would be an indicator that he runs. I do think he's got a big handicap in him at some stage, so I'll be monitoring him. And in terms of just the market currently, because I don't have any feeling that they're going to run Wild Fred at Nace on Sunday. I just don't see almost why they'd run him, and they don't need to run him. And if that's the case, you're currently getting 9-4 about Sattler, and I cannot see him getting beat, really, especially if Fred isn't in that race. He'd be running maybe against Ambaton, Vanillier, who can't really jump, Noble Yates, who'll probably be hacked around looking for a handicap mark. I think it's Statler's race to lose.
A strong word for Statler. Do you think he's going to go National Hunt Chase?
Yes, I do, just because of the level of depth he has in the 2.5 and 3 mile division, Willie Mullins. That being said, because I know a lot of people that listen to this will be very keen on Statler, and know that I've been very keen on Statler as a novice hurdler, as a novice chaser this year. But if he goes to the National Hunt Chase after just 2 runs, I will not be backing him.
But that is all we've got time for on this episode of Let's Talk Racing audio podcast in association with Racing TV. We do hope you've enjoyed listening to us over the last half an hour, and do tune in to our YouTube channel tomorrow morning as we preview the Cleve Chantry House. Will he bounce back in the Cotswold Chase, and some brilliant racing over at Doncaster as well? It's going to be a power-packed few weeks on the channel. Please do go and subscribe if you haven't already.